Last meeting of the co-chairs of the Critical Quality of Life Issues Committee, the COLA Committee, some are calling it, as I understand, a COLE Committee. Let's start with introductions, please. Start with Ms. Ryan.
Hello, I'm Jennifer Ryan, the CEO of Volunteers of Medicine and co-chair of the Access to Healthcare Critical Quality of Life Initiative Committee.
Sam Newby, Jacksonville City Council, chairman of the whatever she said. I went blank.
David Jaffe, professor of sociology, UNF, co-chair of the Affordable Housing Committee.
Jacoby Pittman, chair of the Housing Committee.
Don Gilman, co-chair of the Homeless Committee.
And I suspect Councilman Howland will be joining us momentarily. I'm Michael Boylan, the chair of the COLI committee.
I'm Beth Payne. I'm the CEO of the Northeast Florida Regional Council.
Noel Como, director of planning for the Northeast Florida Regional Council.
All right. There is no formal agenda today. I don't want to waste the paper, quite frankly, because we're going to do essentially three things. Number one, all of the co-chairs have received a copy of the report, and for the record, Councilman Holland is just joining us. And what today's meeting initially is to be about an opportunity. A copy was provided to the co-chairs yesterday, I believe, and with the instructions they should take some time to review them, largely for errors and omissions at this point. We're not going to rewrite the report. I think it's fairly comprehensive and very inclusive in terms of all that we wanted it to do. So we're going to take a few minutes to do that. I'm going to let Ms. Gilman share with us some news and talk about how it may or may not impact some of our work here. But beyond that, then, talk a little bit about the presentation. And so I understand that we do have an opportunity at the full council meeting on Tuesday evening, to share this report. The intent, quite honestly, is to make this report fully available once we conclude this meeting and whatever changes have been agreed upon to be made, to have those made, and then make this available to the public as a whole upon that completion. I expect that should be within 24 to 48 hours. And then there will be 50 hard copies made and available at the City Council meeting on Tuesday. Recognizing Council Vice President Salem has also joined us for this meeting. So let's start with Ms. Payne. Why don't you go ahead and walk us through the process of how we got to, what you all did, the good work, great work you all did in getting this report to its current state.
Do I get to stay here? Yes.
Right, yes, you can.
In my seat? Okay, great. It's really my intention just to kind of just do a brief overview of what you see in this document. I think what's important is that we served as kind of the coordinators and really compiled all the great work that had been done over the series of working groups, and that we have coordinated this extensively with all of the co-chairs. Everyone's kind of provided input and drafts and things, and it's also been reviewed by Councilmember Boylan. So we feel like we stand at a pretty good space with this report, but wanted to share some of the highlights of this. We really did our best to try to capture the process and really the people that participated in this effort. You know, we all know there's extensive public participation and the participation of you all, city council members, and our co-chairs who dedicated so much time. So that was really inherent all through the report. But it does follow the layout of the charge that Council President Freeman set out and how the question should be answered. So, you know, you will find as you go through this document, you know, we start at the beginning with how it was created. We lay a little foundation starting on page 6 about how the problem, you know, is complex in the city of Jacksonville and overall across the country for these issues. And then as directed by the memorandum originally was delving into what's the scope of each issue. So that really starts on page 8 where we talk about the current state of affairs of each of these issues. It cites, you know, some of the presentations given, the data given, all referenced and endnoted at the end of the document in an appendix. So there's lots of data, I think, that backs up and kind of tells the story of what's going on in the city. Also something that was important to a lot of city council members who sit here is the personal stories of the people that have been affected by this crisis equally across these issues. So personal stories are in this document. They start really on page 12, but they're kind of scattered throughout in the highlight boxes across the document to really illustrate and put a personal spin on these things that, you know, are inherently all about people. So I think that's a great addition. The exercise that everyone took part in of a SWOT analysis, you know, that work and that understanding of that process really begins on page 13. It's very graphic heavy. Instead of, you know, reading a lot of the words and the sticky notes and the things that were compiled over those three working group meetings. So these are summaries of the main points of these SWOT analysis with the full found in the appendix. So it really does highlight those things that were shared by everybody. A lot of times graphics like this is what draws people attention, and they'll tend to, you know, gravitate towards what's in the graphic. And we hope that that, you know, kind of covers these issues that have been discovered. And then trying to tie up in a few instances kind of overall themes. Page 17 is a highlight of a compiled SWOT analysis. So while lots of people are interested in their particular issue, we also tried to draw some comparisons and some common themes so that people could also get an understanding of how these three issues work together. So that was also a consideration as we put this document together. Page 18 starts with the best practices. We heard a lot of fantastic ideas and ongoing programs from all across the state of Florida, from things that are going on locally and all across the country. So as requested, you know, and directed in the original document, best practices is a big part of this document. And I think recommendations draw from some of these best practices that have been identified. Certainly the meat or the crux or the summary of this starts on page 21, which is the recommendations of the working groups and the special committee itself. These have been discussed in the working groups. As commented all throughout this process, all recommendations have been included. There's nothing that's been left out. So all that was discussed is included in this document, in this section of recommendations. It starts with a summary table, which we hope will be kind of an easy read for people to get an understanding. And then each recommendation is broken down in further detail as you go through this section. So it highlights kind of the comprehensive nature of affordable housing with it being so complicated. You know, there's a variety of recommendations of all sorts in there. Homelessness and access to health care have a few more pointed recommendations, but they're also included. So, you know, very happy that we could work with the co-chairs in particular on this section to really capture their subject matter expertise. And I guess lastly is the final page, which is 32, which is kind of these common themes of the Critical Quality of Life Committee, these big ideas that we talked about, which is, you know, some of the ideas being the framework idea of having dedicated city leadership to kind of manage these and champion these issues moving forward, and then some of the fiscal recommendations that are found at the bottom of page 32, talking about identifying these sustainable funding sources, identifying these grant dollars, and using that to the best of our ability. So, you know, would love your feedback on the report. We were very intentional in creating a host of appendices in the back, which, you know, detail all sorts of things from participants to all the presentations given at all the meetings. So that was very intentional to do that, pointing to the city's website for all of the detailed information that was done by the city and the city staff, signed-in sheets and minutes and everything. So it's as comprehensive as we could make it and try to get it right at 50 pages. So I'm happy to answer any questions if I can or point to those in the room.
Thank you. Again, I appreciate the hard work. I received a copy of this Friday, spent the weekend poring over it, and met with Beth and Noel on Monday to make, I wouldn't characterize them as substantive changes, more stylistic changes in many respects, and capturing a couple of areas of concern for me. with respect to the document itself. But I think, in my perspective, I think it represents, number one, that's important, many things to me. Number one, obviously, the process. The charge and the process is very clear. The complex nature of the issues and the interrelation of these issues is fairly evident in this process. And then the best practices piece is very, very strong in helping us understand what's being done in other communities. And certainly then, and get into the recommendations, as we mentioned, each and every recommendation, and I know the recommendations that are presently online and available to everyone, are basically mirrored almost exactly here with a little bit more forethought in it. And we made an effort to bold what I would characterize as the pivotal sentence, if you will, or statement in each of those recommendations. So if you want to pull those out to understand more specifically what they were, that's what we wanted to do. I was very intentional in making certain that we included as many of the participants in these meetings as possible. I wanted to be able to demonstrate this was a community effort. It truly was. You know, directed by folks who live, work, and breathe, or as I used to say, we labor in the field of these initiatives, and I think it's really important to have that perspective. The passion of a lot of folks in this room, even here today, about these, and concerns about these particular projects. And, of course, the personal stories, too. I think those are all very, very, very important. A lot of detail. There's sort of the appendices involved in this thing. There are end notes to help you direct you to folks. And last but not least, we could have made this three times larger if we incorporated the work of the Legislative Services Department in terms of the minutes. And so Colleen, that's not a reflection on the use of that. If we wanted to save a little bit of paper and time. It's an opportunity, if you want to dig further into the process, videos are available of all of our meetings, as well as the detailed minutes that Colleen and her folks had created for us. And with that, I want to sort of open it up to my colleagues here. Do you have any thoughts? Maybe we can go by recognizing Council President Freeman is here, and we'll give him a copy. Does he have a copy? No, bring one up for him anyway. So, again, this meeting today really is going to be three things. Number one, to go through and get comments and feedback. Again, largely on errors and omissions, to make sure that we captured the intent of each of the working groups. Secondly, a conversation. Councilman Freeman is here to join us to talk a little bit about the presentation next Tuesday. And then, of course, an opportunity for a public comment. I apologize we don't have many copies of the hard copies of the document. We were reluctant to push it out until it was finalized, and that was the intent of today's meeting. But that will be put out there, as I said, as soon as we possibly have it. Before we jump into it, I wanted to take a quick minute, if I might, in terms of Chairman privilege, is to point out an article that was in the November 25th edition of the Daily Record that spoke to the nonprofit community. Timing is everything. And talk about the confidence level. If we think this is a heavy lift in terms of garnering the support of our citizens of the work or the importance of engaging the nonprofit community, this says it all right here. 78% believe the work done by nonprofits makes this community a more desirable place to live. 77% believe the work local nonprofits does creates a more fair and unified community. Number three, 75% said they believe government should provide more funding to local nonprofit organizations, and on and on and on. You turn the page. What do you see in the next page? A headline. Rents are stabilizing but still challenged for lower-income workers. So the issue isn't going away. We need to continue to address it. And daily, I don't know about my colleagues, but daily I get emails about homeless issues in our neighborhoods. And those are the kind of things we need to be focusing on. So the work we're doing here, this is the beginning of the journey, not the end of the journey, in my view. And I'm hopeful that we have some substantive early actions and perhaps some long-term policy actions that are going to come out of this work as we get there. So I'll get off my soapbox and let all of you kind of speak to the respective working groups in terms of what you saw or didn't see in the report that you might want to see enhanced or amplified or corrected. Whoever wants to start.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I don't want to start, but you might want to let the Council President say a couple of words.
Do you want to say anything just yet? Are you ready?
I'm good. Thank you, Councilman.
Well, how about the former council president?
Well, first of all, I want to say to Beth and her team, great report. when it regards to our committee, I don't see anything I want to change, but I'm going to turn it over to Jennifer, and maybe she can see something she wants to change.
I agree. I think you did a great job putting it together and making it interesting, using graphics, using stories, reminding us of why we're doing this, and making sure that is very clear, that these are the questions we're trying to answer. I'm very happy with it. I'm excited for the community to see it, and I'm excited to hear on Tuesday what the City Council plans to do next with all of our recommendations and all of the work we've been doing.
Dr. Jaffe, what grade would you give this?
I do want to say,
go ahead.
I do want to say one thing, not on the report, but you know, since we have four council members, we really, you know, I just don't want this to just to sit on the shelf. We really go with all the reports. Our task is to make sure we have some funding so we can help the citizens of Jacksonville. So I just don't want this to be another report. This is a great report. It's a lot of work we need to do. So I challenge all five of my colleagues, let's get to work and let's do something for the citizens of Jacksonville.
I suggest you read the last paragraph of that marvelous cover message.
Yeah, get to work.
I wonder who authorized that, who authored it. But clearly, that echoes my sentiment as well. Dr. Jaffe.
You asked me to give it a grade? Is that what you asked me to do?
If you want to. A minus.
Okay. I don't believe in giving an A. There's always room for improvement.
That's true.
No doubt about it. Anyway, I've already looked over a draft of this document, and I like the way it's formatted. I like the way it's designed. I think it's very accessible for people to digest, see the process we went through, and the recommendations we put forward. The recommendations are a means to an end. They're not an end in itself. And I think that's important to emphasize. They're words on a page. And it doesn't mean anything to have words on a page if those recommendations are not taken seriously and are translated into action and policy. So I will not be content until I see that actually takes place. So thank you for mentioning that. There are many other reports that have been done that have many recommendations, very similar to the recommendations we have in this report, and I have not seen those recommendations being taken seriously in the past. So hopefully this will be a new chapter in actually taking the recommendations made by people who have spent time. We've heard from a lot of speakers. We've received great information about the situation and about the various parties and agencies and organizations in Jacksonville that are involved in affordable housing. So I know that they are committed as well to seeing the recommendations put into action. So that's what I would say. I'd also like to thank Councilman Boylan for inviting me to participate in the process, and it's been a pleasure working with Councilwoman Jacoby Pittman. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Pittman.
Yeah. You know, I don't have a whole lot to add to that. I will say what I was excited about is to have all of us in one room to discuss the issues that we have known for many, many years. But I think now is the time, because we are hearing about inflation, we're hearing about affordable housing, and it's not just in this community, it's all over our country. Now we just need to see, you know, do we have a real appetite to do something about it? And I think those council members who have been participating in this process, we feel that something needs to be done now. And hopefully that we will have resources. I will tell you what has stuck to me more than anything is having the personal testimonies. I can't tell you how much that shook me. You know, I've been working with homeless and affordable housing for over 35 years. But when you hear it up close and personal, and you have the developers in the room or the resources that can help develop change and transition, now is the time, and not just talk about it. And so I'm one of those individuals that like action and that we have a forecast going into the future of developing this, and that we're inclusive of all types of housing for people in our community, and that we're comprehensive, you know, not just a Band-Aid approach, but to really ensure that people who need housing get housing, but there are also other essential social services and supportive services that help individuals that need support. So I am your biggest cheerleader, and Beth, I want to just tell you and your staff have done an awesome job in putting this together, and it's going to take all of you all who are out there in the audience to be our ambassadors and to make sure that this report doesn't sit on the shelf, that, you know, you call your council members, you call your delegation, and that's local, state, and federal, and find out how we can get money to our community to continue building affordable housing. And Jeff, listen, if y'all don't know this doctor, you need to get to know him. Just fantastic in terms of data. If you didn't see him last week, was it last week you were on TV? I saw you. But it's important. Data is what drives the resources to our community. And the information that Beth and her team have put together will also help in having a division within within the city to make this work. So thank you.
Ms. Gumman, why don't you go ahead and share your news as well, and then jump into your comments about the report.
Okay, so Changing Homelessness has just been awarded $2.5 million from the Jeff Bezos Day One Family Foundation. So this is this is the first award from that foundation in Northeast Florida. We are exceptionally excited and honored, especially as the nominations come from people who are folks I have admired for years that are in the movement to end homelessness in this country. So to have them recognize the work that we have all done to maybe not in the most ideal circumstances, but behind the scenes in homelessness, in affordable housing, in healthcare, there's a huge amount of work that gets done and maybe doesn't get brought out or praised enough. So while Changing Homelessness is honored to receive this award, we do nothing by ourselves. That is not how we were founded. That is not how we work. I've already reached out to a couple of our partners. And in the new year, we'll figure out what our plan is. As was just mentioned, it's data. It is a data-driven discussion. We'll know how well we do if not only by the number of families that we can end their homelessness, but also can we put things in place that after the money goes away, because it is a one-time opportunity, can we continue this work? So I'm excited to tell many of you more about it. Many of you have other grants and funding that work with families and children. So we have up to 5 years for it. We are allowed to actually take some time to plan it. I see many of you in the audience who have worked with us as we did the COVID rollout. So we are going to actually think through what we're going to do first before we just start going. So that will hopefully get us some even bigger awards in the end. And it's funny because I was just looking at the SWOT analysis that you all put on for the homeless, and some of this comes out. One of the strengths is we have nationally recognized agencies in this arena. Changing Homelessness is not the only agency that has been tapped to do to have really selective competitive opportunities. We need to leverage that, and as a community, continue to support all those efforts. Multi-year funding, right? This foundation gave us 5 years. We can divide it up however we want over those years. And it gives us
all right away.
And it gives an opportunity to do that. So we're going to work on those strengths and opportunities. In this work, you know, people have questioned, there's three different groups, right? There's health care, there's affordable housing, and there's homelessness. These groups are like this. My job, my day job, is to always advocate for those people who are literally homeless. That is what the Bezos money is for. When we house someone, a physical structure is not enough for them to fully recover and re-enter and become a productive member in our community. Housing is healthcare. That is just known in many ways. We have to be able to connect them to a healthcare home. Housing has to be affordable for a broad range of people. Yes, especially on that end of people who are homeless, it has to be deeply affordable. If someone has Social Security disability, 30% of their income is $155. I can guarantee you there is no place to rent in Duval County for $155 a month. So as we look at funding and ongoing funding streams from the city, how do we leverage these three things together? And as I've said before in some of these meetings, what's our goal? Are we starting at the most vulnerable end of folks who are homeless? Are we really concerned about that larger pool of people who we get calls from all the time and emails that their rent has gone up, they're on the verge, they're not sure what they're going to do next? And ensure that should a medical crisis happen, that there is access to affordable health care. One of the largest reasons that a person or a household falls into homelessness is an unexpected expense. One of those biggest unexpected expenses is health care. So while I love this, how you have all put it together, and all three of these committees have done great work, I want to just make sure when we look moving forward, we all go forward together holding hands, because that is how we build the strength in our community.
Thank you, and congratulations. Before I forget, I decided out of mind, Paul Sapier is joining us by Zoom. We'll come to him momentarily after we hear from Councilman Holland.
There we go. Well-deserved award, Dawn. Well-deserved. And I think it's reflective, that award, of the work that the ecosystem of ending homelessness in our community is doing, and that includes City Rescue Mission and Clara White, Changing Homelessness, Sulzbacher, Trinity Rescue Mission, Northeast Florida Women Veterans, everybody. I think we're making great progress, and actually you can see in this report that by the point count, our community is making progress. But one person homeless is one person too many, so we have so far to go, and a lot of work to do. And a lot of work that's been identified in this terrific report. Thank you guys for putting this together. I would like to have discussion, because you said the purpose of the meeting number one is feedback,
sure.
Right? Real quick, on page 29, great job capturing what I believe my co-chair and I thought were some of the good recommendations coming out of the homelessness working group. But number one, I think there was more, identified more than one measurable goal. The one there that we did put on the chart was the 191 homeless individuals, 55 and older. But we talked about two other things. How can we improve, at least two other things, our inventory of permanent supportive housing with wraparound services within the city of Jacksonville, and also could we come up with some measurable goals, and this was the more challenging one that came out of this discussion, around diversion, even before people slip into homelessness. So that was one thing. I'd love to be able to have those addressed.
If you could put those in writing,
yep.
Two sentences we can incorporate into that measurable goal component.
Yes, sir, will do. And that feeds to the third goal there, which is determine a dedicated recurring funding source, because that funding source would support, in an ideal world, all of those measurable goals that we're working to achieve. And the second one was one I was just not exactly sure what we meant by that one. I know we talked about increasing local leadership around homelessness, but for clarity, was that what when we were kind of talking about how potentially we could merge or create, it came up in a discussion during the homelessness working group, but create something for affordable housing that was similar to what we have at homelessness as far as changing homelessness, kind of being the community convener of various and homelessness activities. Is that where we were talking about potentially joining or creating an organization like that in the affordable housing category?
Yeah, I was not sure on that one. There's quite a bit of local leadership that works within the homeless community, both serving on the Changing Homelessness Board, other boards in the city, and also the COC governance body has one or two different city folks, including Tom Daly, who is a chief of neighborhoods as a member of that committee. So I wasn't quite clear on that. The city does apply for and gets a lot of federal pass-through grants, so that is happening already. We, as a lead agency, also apply for a lot of those larger grants. And then individual agencies can also apply for multiple grants. So,
I think what the intent of this, and help me here, Beth, if you think so otherwise, but I think if we understood that there was going to be a sustainable revenue stream, that the oversight of the city would want to see that interactivity between the... it's happening now, I get it. Yeah. But to have it, as we talked about with the health access to healthcare one as well, some sense of cohesiveness in that process. Affordable housing has a similar situation, saying, how do we bring the agencies that are doing this work now together to make sure that they're effective and impactful collectively?
Yeah.
And that's really what the intent of this is.
Yeah. And it almost becomes, there's a similar one in the affordable housing, similar recommendation. Yes. It almost does become, I remember an aha moment going on in one of the discussions where something like Changing Homelessness, an organization like that, could be stood up to address affordable housing, or you could add that into your mission.
Definitely the other option.
Yeah. But somehow, maybe Dawn and I will get together and look at if there's any wording there we'd like to submit to Northeast Florida Regional Council. But I just want to, those are my only comments. This is an amazing, robust report with actionable items out of that. That's testament to all the work that my colleagues have done on the Special Committee for Critical Quality of Life issue, as well as the work the Northeast Florida Regional Council did to prepare the report. So thank you.
And, Paul, I know you're under the weather today, but I did want to provide you an opportunity to speak, and I apologize for not calling on you earlier on when we addressed the access to health care piece. You want to offer a few thoughts?
Yeah, so thank you very much. I appreciate the ability to join virtually. Like you said, not feeling well today. But I really appreciate the work that's gone into this and the other initiatives as well and the work that's been done with the other committees. Dawn, to your point, I really think that we can't do this in silos. We've got to work together, and something that we've talked about since the beginning is these are not mutually exclusive, even though they're a little bit different. So I look forward to seeing what we can do building out of this and continuing to push something forward and not just have another report. So thank you, everybody, for your help.
Thank you, Paul, and I hope you feel better. Just real quick, as I nitpick this process again and again, I did point out to Noel today there's a word missing in the affordable housing second paragraph when it speaks to the first sentence. It says near 3% in real rental rates statewide, I believe, should be inserted in there, because obviously it goes on to talk about the substantial rent increases in the Jacksonville, Northeast Florida area. Council Vice President Salem.
Thank you. I just, first of all, wanted to commend the Northeast Florida Regional Council. The work they did on resiliency and the work they've done here just shows the value of the organization. I love the format, the pictures, the listing of the recommendations, and then the follow-up behind it is just it's very easy to follow, and I think most people that read this can follow it very well, and I think it's very well done. Dawn, I'm glad you got all that money, so now we can move towards the other two.
Don't go there.
Since you got your money. Only kidding.
I suck it at all.
And just from a council standpoint, in terms of legislation as after the presentation we move forward. I think Jennifer knows and Councilmember Newby know my passion is more towards health care than the other two. And I think I would encourage the council member chairs to sort of be the champion of looking at legislation and then recruit people like me to sort of help you co-introduce it, co-sponsor it, whatever it may be, as we develop specific pieces of legislation. I think some of these, like in the healthcare arena, are a bit easier to promote and get through than others, and that's the process of getting 10 votes through this system. But that would be my thought, Chair. Thank you for the opportunity.
Council President Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and my apologies for my tardiness. It seems like 24 hours in a day is just not enough, especially with a newborn at the house. But my first thoughts, I'm overwhelmed with joy by this moment. Council Past President Newby said it best, and I used to say it when I first came into this space, that Jacksonville should be the smartest city in America with all the studies that we've done that are sitting on shelves. And so I really believe that today and this process to this point is a call to action. And you've heard that, and you've heard those sentiments from all of my colleagues sitting up here as well. I want to thank a few people. First, I want to thank everyone in the audience, each of you that showed up for all of these meetings and sacrificed your time and offered your level of expertise to this conversation. It's valuable, and it's important, and we appreciate it. I want to thank the panel experts for taking on the lead and the charge of herding cats, because we as council members, we definitely are pulled in so many different directions with our thoughts and ideas, but really keeping the cars in the lane and keeping us focused and on task. And I want to thank my colleagues, each of you up here, for your passion and for your sacrifice of time. I mean, there's no secret what we as a council have been going through these last several months. And so when you add that on top of all of this, I know personally what it means and what you've done and to sacrifice. And to the chair, I want to thank you, Councilman Boylan. You brought structure to a very complex process. And that was why I specifically asked and prayed and hoped that you would say yes to leading this. And so now that I'm through with my thank yous, I'll close with this, goals. We obviously understand that you have short-term, long-term goals. We as a council will take a deep dive into these recommendations. On top of doing that, there will be a cross-secting of these recommendations with our strategic plan. Several years ago, we placed the council president at that time, created legislation that generated basically an ordinance now for a strategic plan, 1-3-5-year plan, that in working with the administration, they funded as they're building out the budget. And then we go out and we implement it. But on top of that, I look to incorporate several of these recommendations into legislation. Now, I'm not very good at math, but I can look up here on this table and I count 6 council members. How cool would it be that if any piece of legislation that came out of these discussions today started with 6? I'm not an expert in any of these lanes, but I'm a supporter of these causes. And because I'm a supporter of these causes, I look forward to, within reason, trying to bring forth something that will move these causes forward. I'm sure everyone in this room knows that it takes 10 votes to get anything accomplished. We can move a mountain with 10 votes. 6 up here, my math says we need 4 more people. So I'll be looking to host a notice meeting with my colleagues after the turn of the break and get us all in a room, those who are interested in this topic, and look to take several of these recommendations and try to create some type of an ominous bill that will capture the spirit of many of these recommendations that are in here, and somehow attach it to funding And there is fund. There's money. Their money's out there, and attach it to funding that'll give us a good platform to leap from. I don't necessarily believe these dollars will sustain us, and that's where we'll have to have some further conversations about how do we sustain it. But it'll give us a great starting point. And lastly, when we're talking about legislation, we can't get anything across the finish line without you all. And so there will be one last ask of you, one last push and begging, really. Everywhere I speak, and I speak on this many civic arenas, chamber events, you name the event, and they always say, well, Council President, how can we help you? I say, I need you to show up. Mm-hmm. Okay? So when we do get to some point of legislation, and selfishly, it'll be really cool to have people that are coming up and talking about something that is right before us and a bill that can really help move the needle in some of these key areas. Show up, fill out a card, and support it. And I'm for one, I don't care if you're screaming or if you're whispering. I don't really listen to how you're saying it. I listen to what you're saying and share your heart. So I'll close with that. Thank you all for the opportunity to observe this from afar. Usually I sit in the back corner for a couple minutes and sneak back out. Thank you for letting me come up front and get some TV time. Thank you.
Thank you, Council President. While I shudder to correct you, there are actually 7 council members in the room. Mr. Farrar has joined us. Out of order to say this. So I saw one of his signs the other day, and it says the slogan being putting families first. And I mentioned to him, I think he needs to take a deep dive into this work because I think that speaks to that as well. And as I've said all along, the intention of this process was not only to put it in the hands of the existing council, but future council and future administration, to let them weigh in where they stand with respect to the prospect of some of these initiatives, some of the larger initiatives, becoming codified and part of our institutionalized process. So I don't know, Councilmember Farrar, did you want to offer any thoughts at this point?
Thank you, and thank you for everybody being here. You did offer to the invitation for me to come here, and I want to say thank you for getting your grant. I think that's an awesome thing, and a lot of hard work went behind somebody to be able to do that for our community. I know I don't ever want to take a class with you if I can't even get an A, so I mental note there. And I also wanted to share with the Northeast Florida Regional Council, I have been beating the drum against you guys for a long time, but I will say this is what I wanted to see. This wasn't happening before, and this is what I wanted to see. I'm dressed like I am right now because I just came from meeting with some people downtown with the affordable housing and people trying to see what they're going to do in their future. To where a lot of people have a real bad look towards their future. And I want to see whatever we can do to get the message out to what we need to do. It sounds like we've got a great group of people here who are pushing all the different items here to bring hope to the hopeless. And when you get out there and you talk with people, and I'm going to just echo a little bit what you said. I spoke with some people out on the street, people who have been nurses, who had a health crisis to where now they're homeless and they're on the street and they're right down the street. You don't have to go far. And there's thousands of people that fit into that description. When people are hopeless and they feel that way and they don't feel like they're ever going to climb out of that hole, they're going to do desperate things. And desperate people do desperate things. So we've got a lot of people asking for help. One of my jobs is to try to get out and explain to people who don't understand what we're walking into and what we're seeing and the voices that we're hearing to put a name behind all these numbers and all these graphs. So I'm going to do everything I possibly can, and I just wanted to thank everybody who's here, and thank you, Chairman, for having this committee and past Council President and President for having this. This is an important time for doing this important work, so thank you.
Well, I think as a function, and thank you, Councilmember Farrar, for joining us today, and I look forward to your deep dive into the report. I think you'll find substantive things in there that we can do as we go through this process. So from what I'm hearing as a result of these comments today, the only changes are a couple of additional sentences to come on the homeless piece that Councilmember Holland will provide shortly, we hope, and the one other verbiage that I suggested. So with that, I'm going to ask my colleagues as a committee then if we want to go ahead and endorse this report and move it forward as a presentation to the council. So I'll entertain a motion to that respect.
I make a motion to adopt this report.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's moved and seconded. Any further conversation? All those say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Like sign. We have a finalized report. And I apologize to everyone in the room. It wasn't practical for us or cost-effective for us to push this out without, again, knowing there's going to be a couple more changes to it. But once we get those modifications in, a PDF will be created, and we'll get it out there as quickly as we possibly can. We'll put it on the website. If you want it, making certain that you can find it, feel free to email my associate, Sonia J@COJ.net, and she will forward you a copy of the PDF to make sure that you get it. The second conversation, I'm looking for some direction from the council president with respect to your thoughts as to the presentation before the full council on Tuesday.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would say brevity is a gift and one that you have mastered. So I think if we give a high-level view for those who weren't like my colleague here to my right, and I really want to apologize. I didn't look right. So my new math is 7, and we need 3. All right? So I want to make sure I get the math right. But I don't want to confuse anybody, and I don't want to, you know, send up any type of a red flag to anyone. But I do want to direct them to the work that's been done. So if you can give them kind of an overview of it, and I'll follow up with a date for a notice meeting that I would really encourage them all to attend, then we'll have this process in place.
Again, for my colleagues or co-chairs in this process, my intent, frankly, is to do, as you said, a brief report. I'm not going to go into the details of the recommendations. I'm going to talk about is the process, the involvement of the community in that process, and make it very clear that these recommendations are all-encompassing, that were offered by those in the audience and others in this process, and that and the assuredness that there are going to be action items that will come out of this, either individually or collectively from the council members. There's a couple already that I'm already jumping on, quite honestly, and looking to move forward sooner rather later in this process. But that's how our process works. The council members are the only people in the position to offer legislation, and even the mayor can't offer legislation. It has to come through the council president or another council member. So I'm looking forward, and I think you saw and heard today the determination and an affirmation that we, the 7 of us sitting up here, recognize the importance of this work being action taken on a lot of this work. It may not be exactly how you wanted to see it come out, but I think you're going to see, in my vision going forward, let's say we'll take an item out here that's got probably low-hanging fruit, and to say if I introduce a bill, an ordinance, resolution, that I would do something very much like this, have another workshop to vet it out, to make sure that it's as comprehensive as possible. So the legislation may be introduced one way, but as it evolves in these kind of conversations, it might have a different iteration at the final end of that, then to go through the committee process. I think this requires that ongoing collaboration as we do it and move it forward. Ms. Payne, Noelle, do you have any further comments?
No, I can just say it's been a pleasure to work with you all. We're excited at the Regional Council as our missions and programs align with some of these efforts to help, you know, continue to help any way we can. So thank you for that.
And when I approached Beth about the prospect of this, I hung Mr. Ferraro right over your head. I said, this might be a good idea for you to get involved in this project with me. So I do appreciate the good work, and you guys did some great work for us. We do have an opportunity for public comment. If you filled out a green card, we'll entertain those now. I don't know if I need to read the name or not. Mr. Oliver. Pastor Barlow, I do want to let you know that your proposal is in its entirety incorporated into this document, so it's public.
Thank you. Yes, my name is Carter Oliver. Address is on file. I would say that we're going in the right direction.
But from a global sense, I think that we're going to be really isolating things based on their own merits. To me, I'm looking at getting the biggest bang for a buck. We've already put a lot of responsibility on our taxpayers in our community. I just looked at four legislature committee assignments. Tracy Davis is the vice chair of transportation. You got Angie Nixon on higher education. You got Clay Yarbrough on healthcare. What if we could get a regional sales tax that Debbie Downs, whatever dollars that we get from housing to healthcare to education to transportation, whatever amount of money may generate $900 million. But the thing about it is that there's got to be a revenue-neutral aspect to it. And we can't force every county in our region to support this. But I know that we have developers that are cutting big checks to the lobbyists in this community. And they can put together a good comprehensive legislation that could be sent to Tallahassee saying that if we create another sales tax, maybe 2 cents, we'll cut property taxes, making it revenue neutral. But the thing about it is that for certain communities within our region, we need a strategic planning commission that focuses on each perspective. People come from different professional backgrounds, and these counties don't have to be forced to take money out of a transportation pot of money to pay for stuff. They can focus on their needs of their own individual county. I'm a more forward-thinking person. And the thing about it is, all in a nutshell, we can just only focus on ourselves. But the thing about it is, Clay County is impacted by the things that we do. St. John's County is impacted by the same things that we do here. We all got to start fighting for one another. The more we focus on ourselves, the bigger the problem goes. Because I look at it like this. I had the opportunity to go to an LUC meeting. District 12, which is Randy White's district, is blowing up with a lot of economic development. And they're going towards more of the rural parts. They're going to feel that impact. So they're going to need help moving their town forward. So we all got to be able to fight together to ensure that we create the kind of quality of life that everybody in our region really needs. We should not just be standing on for ourselves. But we've got to be fighting for everybody so that everybody can benefit. This is the opportunity, not just for Duval County to move forward, but for everybody.
Thank you, Mr. Oliver. Having no more public comment cards, I believe we are adjourned.